if you want high refresh rate, maybe don't buy a 4K monitor.
Yeah, I mean, but if you like high fidelity images and you want to get that UHD display and you don't want to watch that 1440 blurro vision, I'm just saying. Fight me. Come on. Hey everyone, welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I've been, that is Jordan. Over there is freshly cleaned.
Squeaky Magoo.
Shock mount. Just got brushed off with a toothbrush.
It was extremely sexy. Surprisingly,
it was a little too sexy.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm uncomfortable.
You gotta tune into that live stream and come relive that experience, man. It is. There might be a 10-hour cut of that in the future. But anyway, if you are watching this live, Shadowrealm Dynamic helping us form Cocaine Voltron. Yeah. YouTube has kind of went crazy with the ads, haven't they? The anti-ad technology.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You're not allowed to have an ad blocker installed anymore.
Thinly veiled threats that your account may be suspended for breaching the terms of service because ad blocks are against their terms of service. Yeah, go ahead and try and do that to someone who has a lot of money. YouTube, I want to see that court case.
Like, LOL, we're Google. Here's the licensing agreement that you signed up for, dipshit. So, like, yeah, let's.
Yeah, no, it'll be a good test to see if that holds up in court.
Because it will. Yeah, you might
not unless they're going against Larry Page or one of the Oracle
guys,
right?
3 months ago, I told y'all motherfuckers what was going to happen. Nobody paying attention. I was like, do you know how easy this is? Now, to my point, they haven't done the thing I was talking about yet. This is just, they're still fucking testing the waters because you can still fight around this. Mm-hmm. This ain't the switch getting flipped yet.
Yeah, with the web integrity framework thing, that's the big no-no that's gonna really fuck shit up.
But I mean, I have YouTube Premium. I've made that choice just because I use enough YouTube for like research, and plus you get YouTube Music, which I guess I should go back and listen to because apparently we only know songs from the mid-90s.
Honestly, I've been using YouTube Music for music discovery, and it's not bad. You gotta, like, specifically say, like, give me new shit, otherwise it will play you the same, like, 15 songs over and over and over again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been my experience with it.
One thing I'm gonna start doing for our patrons, I've been kind of sporadically testing it out, is if you want, like, just a clean produced version, one way you can use a YouTube DL, or whatever DLP it's called now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, YTDLP.
Yeah. That's not going to be a perfect quality, but we have the option to put video up on Patreon. We're still in that. I don't know if that's rolled out to everybody yet, but you might have noticed there, that video there, no ads, nothing. You just get it, do whatever you want with it, and it's going to look fine.
FreeTube still works.
See, I don't know, like, I see a bunch of people posting about all these, like,
Vanced and whatever.
Yeah,
and
I'm like,
the one that Lewis Rossman did with his company. He just hired a couple of developers and it's like, do this. And it basically allows you to follow one person on all the platforms that they share videos on, including the paid ones. So, very good job on that one.
My only thing about using anything else is eventually it's not going to work at some point.
Greyjoy, that's the one.
Yeah.
Like, what are you gonna do when YouTube just shuts off API access?
I mean, that's an appropriate name, Greyjoy, because you know, old Theon, he also got cut off snip. A little prematurely. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, had a good time. We're doing Trek Media still. If you want to come hang out with us? We've kind of got the server. We got a new plugin set up for Cup. So if you want to get some racing on, join us for Tuesdays and Thursdays. I keep forgetting to plug that. And I got my camera lens. I got a floppy camera lens, which was, it said it was floppy and it was $9.
is it flopping?
It's got a little flop to it. So like when you adjust the focus, it wiggles a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. But like it stays put afterwards. Otherwise.
Oh yeah. Right? Yeah. No. Well, it's okay. Well, you gotta be a little careful about adjusting the aperture because it doesn't click into place. So if you like dial it too far, the lens will just fall off. But then again, it's a $9 lens. So I'd be like, eh.
What a shame.
Yeah.
JC Denton, what a shame.avi.
Womp, womp. Any anything new and exciting going on in Canada this week in Toronto's land, Vils?
No, I brought it up in the pre-super shows and I watched that new Babylon 5 animated feature. It was all right. It was exactly, it was another Babylon 5 episode. No, it was nice to watch. I'm on vacation this week, which is nice. I spent the past like 4 days writing documentation, so I'm very tired of looking at Markdown.
But you did spend your vacation writing documentation.
I did not spend my vacation writing documentation. Okay, this upcoming week. Yes, this coming week. Mm. I am available to sleep.
Are you excited to see new and interesting ways people will avoid doing anything?
I look forward to coming back to a complete and utter shit show. Be like, Jordan, this thing didn't work. And I'm like, did you read the code? And they're like, no. I'm like, why do I have to read the code for you? Because you're the senior. Ah! But anyways, how's your job going, Pedro? You're really happy at work, aren't you?
He is. Ball of joy.
Yes, terribly happy. It just seems that now I have to deal with the copyright claims too. So yeah, that's
you got hired as the NHS's copyright bot.
Mm-hmm.
I got known as the one who had to figure out what the fuck the copyright claimant was actually claiming, because the screenshots that they sent us, it's like, this thing is included here. And the screenshot that they had did not include the thing. And I went to the site that they linked to. It's like, that doesn't include your thing. What the fuck?
They just sent you a photo of Bigfoot.
Yeah. No, they said, there's a presentation that if you click on this, click on this, and click on this, there's a presentation that has our copyrighted content. Why didn't you just share the link to that presentation?
It's not the way my brain works, man.
No. I have to take a photo of the screen. Ooh. And email it to you.
Fax it.
Yeah.
So yeah, after we figured out where the actual content was, it's like, yes, okay, there is something there that totally shouldn't have been there. So let's forward that on to the right people. And supposedly it's sorted now. We'll find out.
Did you send it? Oh man, I would have sent him back a spider.
Then ask for the drawing of the spider back.
Right. Like, yes. We're sorry. Just we're going to send you the spider.
give me my spider back. I want it back.
Oh, a screenshot with some Google A's on it and be like transformative work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is the remix of that. We drop the bass on it.
Yes. Let's drop the bass on the horse.
Ah, yeah. It goes, nay. It's the steam.
It's gonna change by itself. Give it time. 3, 2, 1. No,
oh my
not.
God! Why not? No, automation is. Oh, it kind of did. Did it? I don't know. Automation. Don't fail us now. Well, you might. Speaking of Canada, you might. If you live here, you might have to drive through the snow in negative 50 degree weather. And if you don't live in
only
Canada,
if your reindeer is broken.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's usually what happens. Those beavers are vicious come wintertime. But yeah, if you can't live in Canada and experience it for yourself, you can play Kona 2. We threw chairs when we were reviewing games at the first Kona, where it was one of those walking simulators that came out in the wake of like Dear Esther and Firewatch. This one was this one was Icy Watch. You walk around, you try to solve a mystery and not freeze to death. And they have a new version out, or the sequel's out, that they released on Linux, which it's not very common that we get a game that initially gets released on Linux, and then 5 years later, they're like, oh yeah, here's the sequel, also on Linux. I don't know. The reviews are mostly positive. People are saying in the reviews that it's like a little bit more linear and a little like less sophisticated than Kona 1. I don't know. I just remember walking through snow and being like, I can do this in real life. Why am I playing a game to do this?
I mean, the first one was pretty linear from what I remember. I remember it being kind of meh at the end because the ending... clearly, they wanted to set up the follow-up, which I guess here it is. Good job. The ending was kind of meh. It was like, oh, there's a Wendigo. Okay, cool. And then you had to do the driving in the snow, and it was very restrictive. The moment you got anywhere off the snow, your car like slowed down. It's like, no, you have to turn back into the road. Couldn't move at all. So yeah.
Yeah. No, that's usually how driving through snow works.
No. See, this is what I remember. I had to go, well, we had to go check the reviews here. With the thumbs down, the big red ones, a sad game full of invisible walls. And like, man, that brings back some memories. Because so what I put in the show notes, what I remember about the original game was boredom and ice. Mm-hmm. Now, $30 for this experience. But I guess if you like the first one, and I didn't dislike the first one. I was like, this is just like a walking simulator with ice and shit. That's what I felt like.
I mean, but again, that was what was very, very popular at the time. It was like just before Battle Royales. I think that was like the hard sort of pivot of people got tired of like low key chill walking simulators, and they're like, I want 12-year-olds screaming at me just all the time.
Well, some people like that experience of like walk around, scan a thing. Ooh, spooky thing. Go somewhere else. And
yeah, go see the story and sort of like piece together. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I get it.
The thing that always sticks out to me with the Kona series is that can't call it that in Portuguese.
what does it mean in Portuguese?
Why? Okay, hang
on. The C word.
Now, there has to be. Portugal has...
Vagina.
Well, here's the thing, though, man. Like, that's got to be close enough in Spanish, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I between those two countries, like, AJA's definitely got to have a... distribution market there. So what the hell do they call the fucking Kona there?
that's the thing.
Or is this just the thing, or is this like a forbidden word for like 8-year-olds and everyone is like,
that word is effectively the Portuguese version of cunt. So it is very much a no word in all situations. What was it? The Hyundai Kona, which they had to rename as the Hyundai Kawaii for Portuguese markets.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
Kawaii Desu?
Yeah, oh, man, the blood drips out of the headlights. It's awesome.
Yeah, weeb-tastic. All right.
Soulbind up next. Tales of the Underworld, which looks right up, Pedro's alley on this one.
It's not a pixel game. I had to look closely.
It's very much very in line with Dead Cells. If you're looking for like the closest comparison, like the combat just screams Dead Cells, but it seems to play more on the you're expected to die and come back to life more so than in Dead Cells. You collect the dead body parts of your fallen enemies, and then you can use them on yourself because hey, you're just a skeleton and you're killing other skeletons, so reuse those parts, baby.
Skeleton.
Yes. I out of curiosity for some reason, I just went to SteamDB and searched for games with the word soul in the title. 229, with 149 being the plural. For no particular reason still, I also searched for dark. And there's 680 games on Steam, publicly listed currently, that have dark in the title, which I thought there would be more.
You're searching for the wrong type of soul, see what we need to search for.
Like soup? 88.
Ah, booze. Valve, you suck. There's no.
I
hot
searched
souls.
This on Friday, so there were 88,495 games.
My dreams of a Dark Souls dating
Steam.
Simulator have been dashed.
They'll be called Date Souls then.
Oh.
And I genuinely thought there would be a lot more games with the soul and dark in the title. But no.
If you liked it, you should have put an Elden Ring on it.
Oh,
very good.
Oh man, can't dodge roll that commitment. All right,
Beyonce might copyright strike you, but there you go.
So yeah,
I'll dodge roll. She can't hit me.
This is Salt and Skelly Boys, right?
Yeah. Listen, this SteamOS as a system requirement too. Like to see more of that. Mm-hmm. Play that player game on your Steam Deck.
I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole when I was getting everything set up. I'm like, SteamOS, all right. I know this is not like a public thing, but there's got to be like a repo with all the open source bits that Valve has used for SteamOS because licensing and GPL compliance and all that. No, there's not.
I wonder if it's one of those like, you got to send an email and they'll do it that way. They'll send you the diskette with the...
that might be a project for me next week is sending off that email and be like, where is the code for this? You know, I understand like leaving out your proprietary bits, which are completely falls within the license, but that is absent on GitHub or wherever. Come find it.
I mean, you can still download SteamOS 2, the old one.
Yeah.
the Debian-based one.
I want that hollow ISO and, like, if somebody knows, like, leave me a comment. Leave me a comment. Be like, hey, here's where you get
Chimera.
It.
Just use Chimera.
I want that SteamOS so I can look at it and not do anything with it, but I just want to know it's there for security, you know, a little steamy blanket.
You gotta run it in a Docker container then, from the Linux server people.
You know, fucking containers, man. You know, here's one thing I'm really glad that people are still playing around with, like, those little, what do they call them, like, droplets or whatever, those little big $1 or whatever. Like,
little micro VMs.
Yeah, because it's forcing them to do shit without containers. At least they're getting that, you know.
You can run a container.
You fucking squeeze some shit on there, but when you're sitting there like, that's all I have, I'm like, I got to make better usage of these, like, 1 gig of RAM.
That's why you set your memory values very, very small in your Docker Compose. I don't know. That's...
Yeah. Fortunately, like, there are other people who are like, you know what, maybe I need to actually not do everything in a fucking container. But...
All right.
Yeah.
Linux DevOps cast is next week.
No, it's not.
No, it will be in my hotel room. Damn it, it's gonna be me and
Jordan,
a pillow.
Jordan, we cannot do the Vin and Jordan show because I've already thought about that. Because what would the 3-letter word for that be?
The Vag Show.
Yes. Then we're like, we really can't say, "Hey, well, come get some Vag in your face," right?
Well, I mean. My minor tangent, my username back in college was my first initial, my middle initial, and my last name. So for 4 years, I was just Jack Wang.
Jack Wang.
Jack Wang. Yeah, every assignment, Jack Wang.
The plaid strips.
Yep.
Ghostbusters.
Busta makes me feel good.
That's right. I want to give this a mention. Asymmetrical game. Hide and seek. Pew pew. You shoot ghosts. Take their money. You know, take their ghost lunch money. And this just kind of came out of nowhere. This was like a little drop. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought I heard about this game being in development. And I wanted to give this a mention because it got to get released on Steam. And now we'll get to the rest of it. But day one release on Steam Deck Verified, right out of the gate. And then I did some research because I was like, I know I've seen a trailer for this and it seems kind of late for this coming out. But this is from the creators of Friday the 13th, the game Predator and Hunting Ground. See, those three juggernauts have failed co-op online multiplayer. And apparently, like, at some point, Epic looked at that resume, looked at their CV, and went like, man, we need to get you guys in for an exclusive. So that's where this game's been for an exact year.
Stargate.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's why you've never heard about this game, because it's been on the Epic Store for the last year, not doing anything. And, yeah, I'm just going to give credit where credit's due, because it doesn't matter which thoughts are on Epic or whoever, this iPhonic publishing. What matters here, the data point that you want to focus on, is somebody's taking the time to at least say, hey, it's Steam Deck verified. We at least took that step, and that's good for all of us. So keep that in mind. But I do look forward. It's $14.99. Listen, a year from now, this game's going to be in a $5 bundle. We're going to pick it up and play around with it. Until then, it exists. If you want to play it on your Steam Deck, go for it. Because it's got PvP co-op.
Yeah. I mean, Busted by Daylight looks pretty fun, honestly.
I mean, yeah, it looks like a interesting $5 game at some point. And of course, people are, even Windows users are already, and I'm going to say rightfully so, they're complaining about having to create a, maybe not, well, it depends, an Epic account in order to do the online cross-platform multiplayer thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, but I don't know, you can log into Epic Games with, like, your Google account. I don't get it at this point.
Strange lines in sand, man.
Yeah, it's kind of a moot point at this.
That's a line in the sand I wouldn't cross.
Yeah, but it's you, Pedro. Like, it's like, we'll put that on the list. Yeah.
there's only one sandier person on this podcast, and he only shows up once a year, so it's Sandy Claus.
But he's got Sandy in the name, so
yeah. Yeah, man. Good on them for at least taking the time to make sure it was Steam Deck verified. Now, we do have some game updates this week.
We do. One that's been on Linux for a while, since 2014.
Yeah, yeah. Like what, 5 years ago?
9 years ago.
Oh God. Don't look at your hands. Don't look at your hands.
Fistful of Frags, a game which somehow still has people playing it. I enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it when they first released it. I played a lot of it. The shooting was actually very, very good. But they're still releasing content, and apparently the lead developer went AWOL. And they're trying, it's like, okay, if you know anything, please, tell him he's needed. Tell him we very much want him to be back, because we need some things to improve how the servers are handled. There's more servers than are actually listed. If you go to just the multiplayer or the co-op side, you have to go into find servers so that it gives you like the usual source server list, and it gives you everything. So a lot of people aren't happy because they can't find the servers just by using the traditional multiplayer.
This GIF bugged me a little bit. I'm like, okay, how were we doing this back in the day? So I'm guessing they trenched that out and put a cable under it, because you can kind of see it. Like right
there's like a seam there where he's coming.
Yeah.
we're looking at a cowpoke being pulled. Well, the visual aspect is he's like sliding on his ass, like down the
corral. I think maybe he's getting pulled by a horse.
Well, in this, they're trying to make it look like there's no rope or anything to that effect. Yeah. So, he's definitely getting, the special effects, if you ever go back and, like, watch some of the stuff is, like, just straight-up Daredevil work.
Mm-hmm. But,
All right.
Yeah, we don't got to worry about paying these people money. Just throw them off the train. It's fine.
It's spoopy season, so, of course, they have the Halloween maps, and they have what was previously a community map, but it was very popular because... Even from what I played of the game, I played a lot in the warehouse. That was one of the most popular community maps. So now there's a semi-official variant, which is all Halloween themed. And honestly, I wish I could go back into it, but not run into the people that have only been playing it and nothing else for the past 9 years.
I mean, that's kind of it. That's the people who are playing the game currently. So yeah. good luck, right?
I would kind of argue that just a little bit, because I did, I saw the strip notes and I'm like, how many people? Because I remember the game. I was like, wow, that was like almost a decade ago. Went and looked it up. It keeps like 100, 115, 120 active players daily, which... Talk about bets I would have lost on that, right? I was thinking maybe like 10, 15 people. Yeah, I mean, there's almost enough for a viable colony, right? Almost.
Enough to populate an Old West town, at least.
Yeah, it's a healthy Old West town, yeah.
For game, I mean, it is free to play and it's been out forever. But yeah, to your point with... that'd be like trying to get into that latest Tekken beta. Like the type of people that... That's all they do, man. You're going to get wrecked. So if you want to get good.
Could you imagine trying to get into like competitive like Quake 3 these days? Like, oh God.
There isn't so much a skill ceiling as there is a skill wall, outer space.
Yeah, there is the axis, and then there is the skill level, which is just perpendicular to it. So like, yeah.
I'm good. Steam Deck verification hour is not over. Welcome back to Steam Deck Verification Cast. Look, I saved you the comment, kids. Because Monster Hunter World is also Steam Deck verified. This is a game update that I want to give it a mention, because I'm going to shout these out every time I see it, because they need to be. And Monster Hunter with the update 1520. That's a lot of updates, man. Iceborne is now officially Steam Deck verified. Capcom is getting in on the game too. Happy to see this. Apparently it works. Out of the box, they've reworked the interface so it's readable on Steam Deck. The default graphics setting performs, and I quote, well, which is always a fascinating metric when I'm looking for performance, because that immediately makes me want to like benchmark a video card with, instead of numbers, use things like, well, all right, okay-ish, and acceptable for the bar graph numbers.
Acceptable out of 5.
Yeah, no 5, just acceptable. Let's say, oh yeah, this one's coming up on acceptable, and but this one's only in the okay-ish for over the I want to do that. And
man, if only Steam OS had like some sort of inbuilt performance monitor so you could see how games are running.
Can't do it. Well, that's like, well, it's running well, and I'm like, Well, you yeah, use
you
words
have
like,
Mango HUD built into SteamOS. Just fucking use it.
I'm sure they did, Pedro. And they're like, we don't want to make that.
Yeah, those numbers don't look great. Let's look too good there.
It's probably 30. You're probably, with everything cranked down, you're getting
720p 30-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, on default.
But yeah, no, I actually thought, because one of the things that they list is that the in-game interface text is now legible on the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a thing that they already had. Because I remember I tried the demo before the game released, and one of the options was like increase the UI text size.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wasn't Steam Deck specific, so they just made sure it was like, okay, how does it read on the 800p screen that
now
Steam
it's
Deck
official
has? Yeah.
Yeah. So, happy coincidences that can also be features.
Yeah.
But like most Monster Hunter games, you have to deal with the Japanese style online multiplayer. Which means
the drop in, drop out annoying bit. Yes.
Yeah, not going to be, and the UI is not going to be super great either. Hopefully, it's all integrated with Steam, so you can just like right click join. Some games still don't let you.
Quite
do
possibly.
It.
I mean, I've kind of avoided the Monster Hunter of last year. One of the Monster Hunter games was on sale for a pittance, like $3-4 or something like that. I'm like, you know what? Let's taste this thing. Let's see what it is, because I like action RPG, open world type, sandbox type things. Got it, fucked around with it for, I went through the tutorial and I got out to where I was hunting the monsters in the world, true to the title. And it very clearly, it doesn't waste your time. It tells you that it's an AINSTDS, which is an action I need something to do simulator. if you like to spend hours booping on things and collecting numbers and shit, it's your fucking jam.
Yeah, I played Monster Hunter 3 on the 3DS because I got some friends who bought it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just bounced off it. It's just too grindy.
It's super grindy. But some people like the,
Yeah. Some people
brother,
just like tune out.
I love him, but he likes his Monster Hunters. I remember him playing the Wii version back in the day, and he's got, I don't know if it's Monster Hunter World or the one before that. It's probably World.
When did we get Monster Hunter like space?
He has
Monster
like
Hunter Super.
In this game.
I
want to
see
that's
monsters with space
crazy.
On this one. You can play it on your Steam Deck.
That would actually be kind of a cool. There's a game idea for you. Space whaling. You got like these giant like space leviathans, mm-hmm. and you got like a couple ships, and you got to take them down.
What
like
if they're
Shadow of the Colossus style? Like
it's hyperspace. You got to watch out.
Yeah, space whales. You got chewed, and then they're gonna waste 8 episodes of your life. Getting nothing done. Oh no.
Then getting wrecked. Oh, that's gonna do it for our Steam news. We got a tried and true intro into the news segment. Something that we've been doing for drivers, baby.
Yeah, this is so I guess Nvidia is tired of people complaining that their drivers under Linux have been a little lackluster as of late. So this new version, I believe it is what? 545.23.06 beta comes with the ability to actually install the NVIDIA driver from the run file in a graphical session. It works. Oh my God.
How many fucking years, NVIDIA?
It gives you so much scare text. It's like, this may not work. This may not work. Reboot your computer immediately afterwards. This may not work, but it fucking works. And after we were trying to figure out in the pre super shows on how long people have been requesting for this feature to be present. It's been more than 2 decades, probably. So the other thing they added, apparently they were tired of people talking about how NVIDIA can't Wayland good. So they've added experimental support for Vulkan, OpenGL, NVDPAU, and X-Wayland. You're going to need to have mode setting enabled. You need to have the latest version of X-Wayland. You need to be on a recent version of EGL Wayland, 170 or over. And if you're on GNOME, you need to set a GNOME setting registry thing to enable KMS modifiers. It's also very experimental. They give a whole process of like, how do I identify where the bug actually exists? Yeah. But because it could be an issue with the driver, could be an issue with X-Wayland, could be an issue with EGL, could be an issue with Vulkan. So, but they are, they're getting this out. We're going to have fully accelerated X-Wayland support. And Ben, no more giant text in your terminals.
Pour
when
one
you
out, you fucking hipsters, baby. your TTY. If you mess something up on your NVIDIA box and you go to TTY, you get the nice jumbo vision. It's been a time-honored tradition. for a long, long time. That's
don't, going don't need to get your glasses.
No, you don't. And Jordan, you get an excellent point, especially with your modern, you know, good luck buying a monitor that's not UHD these days, unless you're like 1440s. I'm like, all right, fine.
If you want high refresh rate, maybe don't buy a 4K monitor.
Yeah, I mean, but if you like high fidelity images and you want to get that UHD display and you don't want to watch that 1440 blurro vision, I'm just saying, fight me. Come on.
I'm just saying, I have both a 1440 and a 4K screen, and they're both the same size.
One's a lot sharper than the other, though, isn't it?
Yes.
But now,
again,
now
I played games on the 1440 because, hey, less demanding.
But hey, now you can add FB Dev to your kernel boot args. But wait, and hey,
I gotta finish the point. It would be big. Now it's not big anymore, which we're gonna kind of miss because you could read the big chunky text on. Yes. But this is something you gotta enable. I'm not taking it away from you just yet, so you can hold on to your PBR and your American spirits and still live that life. Which can, I mean, how many times you're like, oh, thankfully I don't have to like lean into your monitor to like, what is going on there?
That is a bit of a pain on AMD, especially on high resolution monitors when you have to switch to terminal. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, now I'm especially in the living room. All right, now let me take the keyboard and walk all the way up to the television so I can see what the fuck I'm reading.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. That was kind of sad, but I've been using it all week since it came out earlier this week. Put it in. Mm. Didn't have any funkiness with it. I played probably a good like 6, maybe 7 hours of Horizon Ginger Turbo New Game Plus on it using DLSS at 1440p, Pedro.
Yeah, less demanding.
Because I got a 3060 and you want to hit, you know, 70 FPS with everything on YOLO. That's how you do it. And but there's still room for improvement in video. So I want you to step in, lean in a little bit, and we need to sit down and talk about this. Because now that we don't have to drop to a TDY to install the run file, which a lot of you are just looking at us sideways. Listen, 3 of the 6 people on this fucking planet that still install NVIDIA drivers from the run file are on the show. So, yeah, like we're like, but that's not been a problem with RPMs or Debs or my Arch and things forever. Like, still complaining about it, though. All right, we're glad it's fixed.
It should have been fixed a while ago, frankly.
Yeah, because even AMD's FGLRX, for as shit as those drivers were, you could install them while the module was loaded.
Now, in their defense, they didn't work.
They never worked, whether the module was loaded or not. They never fucking worked, but you could do it.
Here's a couple of things. Now that we can do this with a run file, we've gotten all the hard stuff out of the way. Now we need that GUI installer. All right, I want some damn next buttons.
You got to keep the old monitors though. You got to make it look like a fucking UI from like early 2000s.
Yeah, you
got to
keep the CRT and the NVIDIA settings.
We want to maintain CRT parity with our existing control panel, but we want some next buttons on the installer. Also, it'd be pretty sweet if we could get like, you know, require us to enter an email address in order to download drivers, because that's how you get Windows parity. That makes sense. Telemetry too. Yeah, let's get some of that.
Yes. No, we need that GeForce experience and finally get proper shadow play and proper NVENC support on Linux. NVIDIA.
Yeah, it's like, what's that? IP tables? We're not letting any of that network traffic to the NVIDIA servers? Okay, sure.
We do have proper NVENC code support under Linux.
Timely. In a timely fashion, you know. Not having to wait several years before the new NVENC coder being in any way, shape, or form supported.
It works with the 4000 series.
Yes.
It worked with the 3000 series.
Worked yeah, but how long did that series. Take?
Day one. I was streaming on it, same day I bought the card.
Yeah, but you were the one who said yourself that the new NVENC code didn't work on Linux.
Now, what you're confusing here is you're talking about OBS's implementation of NVENC code versus GEM NVENC code. Now, one of those does a memory copy, GEM NV encode, which is a OBS thing. It's not an NVIDIA thing.
Right.
And that requires initially DirectX, which not an NVIDIA thing. And we're still waiting on that. Somebody's doing the work on the back end to get the equivalent of GEM NV encode on Linux, but they're having to write that. And again, not an NVIDIA thing. NVIDIA is like, here's the spec for NVENC code. Like, you want to fucking go to the OBS project and do it for them, because they didn't do it for the Windows version.
Okay.
But how many holes in pipe wire do they got to punch for that, though?
Seven.
There'll be a portal for that.
No, they've already punched the holes, but we don't want any more holes, you guys.
I will gladly throw NVIDIA under the bus, which I do often, but I'm always going to make it a point like not to do it unnecessarily. Like, give them credit where credit's due. Like, they still need to read the fucking SDK for their denoising and shit. Like, they were, you know, the what was it called? The NVIDIA Stream package? You know, with the audio,
RTX audio or whatever.
Yeah,
or
that noise. Whole package with their denoising, the broadcasting package that they released for Windows, and they were going to release the SDK. There's still a page for it with the Linux page on NVIDIA's site. It's like soon, and it's been a year.
And I mean, soon in the cosmic sense. Like, when is the next kernel mass ejection happening?
Well, I'm looking at it because I'm starting to play around with, like, every couple of years, it's been several. This is like since the announcement of, like, the 30 series, I think, is when this came out. Because, like, I want to be able to take advantage of the TensorCores for denoising and other effects. You know, like visual denoising, like processing. But see, fuck you, NVIDIA, for that. Still waiting. Isn't that right, Linus? That's right, Linus. All right. What do we got up next? Ooh, flippity
floppity floop.
Dual screens. Jordan had spoke it into existence. He's uttered the words to the heavens. And Aya, Aya, Nino said, here you go. A Neo Flip. DS. Please don't call it the DS. I mean, goddamn.
Dual screen. It makes sense.
Oh, it does. And that's, this is going to be like Exhibit A. This is it. The Aya Neo Flip. So according to a leak, I like how they put this. According to a leak the company just sent me.
According to this accidental marketing email.
Yeah, you know what, little plug, good for calling them out, because I'm sure this was like, here's something that you can leak to your audience. And they're like, yeah, marketing email? Sure, all right, fine. So, ask and you shall receive.
Good job, Lily.
Here it is. I sit and gave this a good look. Now, if you're wondering, they have the Aya Neo Flip we talked about. It's got the full built-in keyboard. You know, the little chiclet keyboard. You type on, you got the analog sticks, you got a D-pad, and you got some buttons. This, you lose the keyboard and you get a nice little touch screen at the bottom, which, you know, very, very much looks like the, what is it, 3DS?
This one looks like the 3DS.
DS Lite.
DS, all right.
No, the DS Lite had the top screen and the bottom screen as the same size. Oh, 3DS God. Has...
I said the DS Lite.
Nerds. I heard DS Lite.
Nerds.
The entire DS line.
So, you know what? I'm having to think, because, you know, what is this? This is going to be a Ryzen 7 7840U, which is decent. That's got 780M radiant graphics in it. Outside of the fucking blatant obvious thing you would buy this for, can you think, either of you, what you would use that screen for like PC gaming or portable anythinging outside of the obvious thing, which is dating simulator?
You gotta rub the clit on the lower screen, right? I'm thinking of stuff like Super Mario 3DS, Super Mario 64 3DS, and like Ocarina of Time 3DS, where they didn't really use the bottom screen as anything other than just like inventory management and hotkey stuff. So like, if you could have an application, and especially for games that don't really map well to like a controller or like have a lot of buttons or like modifiers or stuff, then having like sort of a programmable touchscreen where you can be like, this is preset X, this is preset Y, or whatever, I think that would be pretty useful for an on-the-go gaming system, honestly.
For a macro-heavy game, like your typical MMOs, especially if you're playing a mage class, you need a lot of stuff in the quick slot bars, and you could just have the bottom screen be the quick slots. So yeah, you would need
some like integration. And I know that there's yes. one project that like works on Android and it like hooks into like Elite Dangerous and other types of games where you can like have it act as like a secondary controller or like a secondary display. So maybe like games would need to have like specific integrations for like, oh, you can have this on like a lower
just
screen.
UI breakouts.
Or you can flip stream it to like your phone or whatever, and like you can have
or a
like,
mod that would let you do it even if it's not official.
Yeah,
so, interesting. I mean, outside
you need
like
something like that, but
your DS implementations, you could probably also emulate the two, possibly three games that took advantage of the Wii U tablet screen,
or even aside having the walkthrough on the lower screen, being able to
Just using it as a second screen and having the cheats.
Or I didn't see whether or not it had a front-facing camera. I was like, that'd be dope to keep work call there while you were browsing the web or whatever.
Or you're just walking around and you have the lower camera just so that you don't walk into anyone.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, if it had a front-facing, it was like, don't get rectovision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Soliton radar.
All right. No pricing or availability on this yet, but the Neo stuff is not cheap, but it's less expensive than what we've always thought it was going to be. Like every time they come out with a price point, you're like, it's almost like near a price you might consider,
it's usually around the $1,000 mark.
I wonder what their like profitability is, honestly, because like what is the demand for like buying these like pretty expensive machines fairly frequently, because like you would think you'd like, I have my Steam Deck, I don't think I'm gonna replace that for like, because
you don't
collect
this shit and people collect these things, man.
I guess, but if you people hate money, I will take your money, I will get rid of it, it will never bother you again, just give it to me.
But you're not gonna come over and like lay on their, well, you might, but
I will come to your house and lay down on your floor
so they can take a picture next to the other streamers that.
Yeah, I'll bring a banana for scale, and so you know it's the real me.
You can do a review on Jordan.
Jordan unboxing. Just show up in a fucking like man-sized fridge box, cover filled with packing peanuts,
and you're just straight up fucking dead.
Yeah. Because there's the plastic bag over my head. Right. I'm just like completely sucked.
Right. Oh, and you're fucking cement shoes, dude. I mean, it's clearly the stuff.
Yeah, like several bullet holes just like up and down my torso.
And Pedro just reaches in the pocket, takes out his toothbrush.
Yeah, it's like, gotta clean him. Gotta brushy, brushy.
That's for the sexy bit.
Yeah, that's what's going on in the Fansly.
So, yeah, there you go. Something to look forward to. I mean, I'm sure people can put Linux on emulators and. Like, yes. To the people that buy these, I mean, apparently they keep on buying them, man.
I guess, yeah.
Aya themselves have been doing very well, because the first Aya Neo was the typical Intel i7 that thermal throttled itself to death.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very popular. So,
Valve came in like, fuck everybody, they up.
Yes, Valve kind of came in, it's like, ooh, we can take a loss on the consoles because that means people buying games on our platform. $400. Oh, well, okay then.
Also, we control the entire stack, so games actually work on our system.
Yep. The UI works, everything is fairly well integrated. Like, oh, that's nice.
There is one thing that does come to mind that you just can't go to the Steam store and download, Jordan.
What's that?
Our next story topic.
Oh, Lutris!
Yeah.
Strider, what are you doing here? Aside from being here every week complaining about Amiga games. Well, this time he's taken a minute out of his life to write a little blog post and some release notes for the latest version of the Lutris. It's not 5.14. Couple cool new features, like easy migration of Origin games to the new EA app. All you gotta do is copy them over to the new folder. Lutris will auto-detect and auto-register the games with the EA app, so you don't gotta re-download all the shit anymore. And they were able to do this without having to use Ghidra to reverse engineer shit. So, you know, good on you, Strider. They also added some hardware detection for older GPUs. There's a lot of GPUs that can only run like Proton 7 and under in specific versions of DXVK because they lack specific hardware support for those newer versions of DXVK. So Lutris will now detect if you are on one of these older cards that has a PCIe based database system, and yeah, it'll knock you down to the highest version of Proton/DXVK you can support. Financially, it's not doing so good. Strider is saying that he's going to be looking at some other revenue streams. He's looking at implementing Nextcloud-based cloud saves, which I'm glad someone is actually like taking that idea and doing something with it, because it's like it surprises me that no one has actually done that before. But if you're a $5 Patreon, you will get a Lutris option to have Strider host for you. Yeah, and he's got some talks coming up in the Ubuntu Summit in Riga, Latvia. If you want to go see some very strong people and then go hang out with Strider, you can go to Riga, Latvia.
Snapshot in time, leveraging Snap and Flatbacks to prefer. Oh, you know what? I hope they have chat. I'm going to give you so much crap. feature detection for games, letting me. All right. Oh, Nagy's going to be doing a thing. How Steam Play makes gaming on Linux awesome. All right. So yeah, just make sure everyone shows up and say nice things to Matthew.
Yes.
When he's holding the microphone fucking incorrectly like he did last time he had to give a talk last year. You wrap the cord around your fucking, if you get a jiggly mic, here's, you wrap it once around your wrist, then in your hand. That way it's not going click, clack, clack through the entire talk you were trying to give.
You can also find a guy called Ivar Smuckstex and have him crash Strider's talk because that guy is huge and can pick up and throw Strider. And he lives in Latvia. So yeah, go do that.
Lutris is one of those tools that needs to hang around because as great as Proton is, and don't get me wrong, it is great, Lutris does so much more. And for every game that isn't on Steam, if you want to have a chance to have the same one-click play experience, Lutris is the platform that currently has the best support for that. Because for, you know, all the progress that Bottles has been making, for all the very, very nice UI that Legendary has, Lutris does all of that and more. It allows you to play all of the emulated games. It allows you to play all of the old DOS games. It allows you to play so much
stuff. One underrated component of Lutris that I think people underlook as well is the website component, the collection of runners, the fact that it's all curated and set up and ready to go. That's like honestly, if I get a free game on the Epic Game Store or anything, I immediately check and see if there's like an installer on Lutris. Just because, yeah, point out the thing and away you go. It's the easiest way to get the games up and running.
Go do it. Go check it out, Lutris.net. And yeah, let's... I'd like to see like less friction. Is there any way possible, like in a dream fantasy world, in that alternate timeline, where we could viably ever get like Lutris in Steam? I know that's a bit inception-y.
It's already on the
on Steam, Discover Store.
Yeah, it's already on the Discover Store, so you can use it on the Steam Deck, but you need the
yeah, in Steam.
Well, so does Strider have $100 in a phone?
So I remember Strider mentioning something about creating the like a console UI for Lutris using Godot or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would be great. That would be amazing. Then
he took a look at that. He's like, "That's gonna be a motherfucker."
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Oh boy.
But yeah, no, it would be great to have something like on Steam that you could just download. Although I'm at the same time, Steam also goes, yeah. So those Nintendo emulators that you're just downloading.
Well, it's like, hey, well, hey, Steam, are you gonna allow Dolphin to be on the Steam store? Let me ask Nintendo. Comes back with like the giant like red handprint on their face, like, yeah, like, no, turns out no,
like, bitch, we're trying to sell a console in Japan right now, so new.
Yeah. But speaking of Godot, Casiano has some experience moving stuff over to Godot.
Yes, the developer, or one of the developers behind Slade Aspire, Megacrit, they basically posted up a bit of a it's a very nice read as blog posts go. This one's on Medium, but it is a very nice read. And there's a comparison here about cleaning bunny poop.
The company that's never made a public statement. Their first one is like, "You fucked up, Unity," verbatim.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like comparing like statically typed programming languages to cleaning bunny poop. So, no, it is genuinely a really nice read. You should absolutely do it. And Slade Aspire is one of those games that I always point to as a proper roguelite. And, yeah, the whole situation of Unity effectively fucking every developer up the ass with absolutely no lube, it woke a lot of people up to the fact that, oh, so this is something that they can do. So let's start looking at alternatives. And the alternative, which they decided to try, was Godot. They put out a little game jam game, Dancing Duelists. It's available on itch. There'll be linked in the show notes as well. So if you want to give it a try, see how they did. And apparently Godot, even if it doesn't have everything that Unity does, and there's still some friction here and there with a couple of automation and things that Unity did very well, which is why it became so popular, that Godot still doesn't have, but there's few links and a few community tools already implemented to basically help people going from Unity to Godot, which is a very good thing. A very good thing.
Yeah. No, it's good to see that there's more and more resources popping up about transitioning projects like from Unity to Godot. And yeah, especially for Slade Spire. Pedro, you say it's a good example of a roguelike. It spawned its own genre subgenre of roguelikes, because there's an entire subgenre of Slay the Spire likes, including the very excellent Inscription, by the way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, going through this process, even though there is some missing stuff, the nice thing about Godot being open source is that, like, you can get those community tools, and those community tools have an avenue of being absorbed by the engine proper. I would think that Godot would also be interested in throwing some funding or some support the way of developers who are developing those tools, because, you know, that means that they get more market share.
100%, man. And, you know, this opens up I want to say strong, like, right out of the gate, like, this guy gets it type opening, because what I've been saying, like, I'm not predicting anything. Everybody, this is obvious to hopefully a lot more game developers than are being public about it, is Unity's gonna fuck you. Like, this is happening, people. Like, it's coming back around. You didn't win anything, so we are doing the right thing and peacing out, so we're not bit by this later. And I think that's very important. And the way they did it, you know, not just sample it, not fuck around with it for a weekend. As a company, they held a 3-week long game jam to see if they could actually make a game in it. And that's an excellent thing to do, to kick the damn tires. To find out, can you make a game with this? And it turns out you could. Turns out, at the end of the day, Godot's pretty good at making 2D games. Which I don't think came as a surprise to anyone, but, you know, they learned, because you're going to have to rework your, you know, imports, models, tooling, all the things that you would need. And fortunately for them, you know, getting cross-platform stuff, they didn't get into that too much, but like, maybe we might be able to get some things on the console too, because they have the game porting company. So it'll be interesting to read. Set
Beasts. Yeah.
A bit more about that. They said no massive roadblocks, and what drew them to Godot is what is there and what is growing exponentially right now is that community knowledge base. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he makes a point in the write-up. He's like, I don't want to reinvent wheels of creating a shader to do this thing. Like, that's not something I'm ever going to do, and I want to find somebody who knows how to do that. And like, boom, there it is. All right, got it. And, you know, that's starting to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to see. There was a lot of those things very early on for Unity, especially in, like, the indie game dev scene. So now, I think they've gone through, like, a bootstrap process already, so now adoption of Godot is going to be maybe a little smoother, because they already kind of know what they need ahead of time.
I mean, you got to find out, like, whether or not it's completely viable. No matter how much you want to support or get, you know, Godot or something else, it doesn't mean shit if it just doesn't work.
Yeah, if you're doing like a 3D game, you probably want to look at something like Unreal or Cryan Lumberyard. Yeah,
yeah.
The O3D. Open source 3D O3D. Speaking of E, go for the eyes, boo. We got to talk about Baldur's Gate 3 mods and profiles. Ven threw this into the show notes. I assumed after watching me just completely fuck up on Thursday, but apparently this was just serendipitous.
No,
let's call it.
No, I was watching you completely fuck up the week prior. That's when I brought up the camera.
that's true. Yeah. So after staking several unwanted dips into lava, I think I need a tool like this. So this is actually two things. So number one is LAMP, which is a mod manager that currently only supports Baldur's Gate 3, but it's looking to support stuff like Skyrim and Fallout and the other Bethesda games. That one was a little interesting because I set it up and it wants you to point the application at your directory where Baldur's Gate 3 and your save files are located. And it has, like, it's probably located here, but then there's a little button. There's a little red square, which is actually a file selection dialog button that you got to click on and then navigate through there. I got to ask, though, if you already have a good idea of where that game file is, why not just have that as, like, the default value? I don't know. That was a little counterintuitive.
Wait a minute. So you're going to leverage that from the same... looks like a cool tool, but I mean, if you're doing a GUI application, that's your complaint when you can, like, go to the GitHub page and there's not a screenshot?
Yeah.
Of your GUI application?
A little bit, yeah. But yeah, it runs out of the box. And then there's a there's another thing from Alternative called BG3 Mod Profiles, which will hook into something like LAMP and will can enable and disable modding profiles as you require them, which is nice.
Yeah, this was the first thing I saw. I was like, somebody's got a thing to mod profile. I was like, well, how do you do that in the first place? Is there one for Linux? And that's how we ran across LAMP. And
I love LAMP. Yeah, Northranger, I love LAMP.
LAMP is good, man. LAMP is great. And having a profile manager, there's tons of mods. Apparently, there's even like a, it's a great way to expand the game in Baldur's Gate. According to Jordan's got a bunch of fun mods, like 16 player mode.
Yeah. I don't even know what running that server is like. Is your computer going to start like smoking or something? Cause like it's already pretty intense running two players.
And on Debian, it read out of the box. I had to install, what is it? Poogie XML.
Pug IXML,
or whatever we want to pronounce that one, but that was the only dep I needed, and it, you know, it barfed that out right from the console. I was like, need this.
You need P7zip and all the plugins. So if you don't have those installed either, you gotta.
I'll find that out later when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So there you go. What do we got up next?
Up next, we got Pharaoh, which is an open source re-implementation of, or actually this one's called Ozymandias. It is an open source re-implementation.
You mean it was?
It was. King of Kings, look at my works, ye mighty, in despair.
Ozymandias.
Ozymandias, my favorite episode of Breaking Bad.
This repo is longer alive for some reason.
Oh, no. Now it's an Octen is the
what
new one.
What happened? Like, this earlier this week, and I'm like, hey, look, there's a great,
I don't know, but the new repo is a lot more active. This is the open source re-implementation of Pharaoh, which itself was based off of the Caesar 3 game engine. You might remember that from the game another implementation we've been covering called Julius. So this is using the same code base. The games use the same engine, so it makes sense. Much like the Pharaohs, they do take after the Caesars a little bit. Except not really, because the Pharaohs took after the Greeks, not the Romans. But it's fine. We're getting to it. But yeah, no, this is another one of these open source re-implementations for strategy games. You'll love to see it. Yeah, it makes sure that these games will run on newer systems because they were meant to run on shit like Windows 98.
Yeah,
not and supported it's anymore.
A pain in the butt trying to get some of those old games. To be fair, like I'm glad OpenMW exists as a project, but. Morrowind still works fine, especially with Proton. But I'm really happy to say that they're
look at them being like a boss motherfucker right there.
They're just using Julius, which yes, they did the right thing. Absolutely, just take the code base of the already very very good and accurate re-implementation that effectively gets you Caesar 3, and just turn that into Pharaoh. Very good.
No,
job.
You got to reinvent the wheel or the pyramid or whatever. It's because it's Egypt.
Man, this thing's so old. It had a Sierra on the box. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Sierra. The first Half-Life was published by Sierra.
Yeah. Okay. Hellfire, the Diablo 1 expansion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Also Sierra. Man.
That's wild.
We're just taking it back to the 90s, this LGC. We're not even in LGC 590. We're in 583. We should be talking about the 80s, damn it. What happened in 1983?
I don't know.
Actually, speaking of official things in Caesar 3, there's actually a
solid
upcoming remaster.
Vodka?
An official remaster that's called A New Era that is on Steam. Or I don't know if it's been released already or not. Probably. Yeah, it has. There you go. Yeah. So, if you don't want to pay £20 for Pharaoh: A New Era, and you still have the original game, or you own it on GOG, go nuts.
Is the short version of that game called A New Pharaoh?
No, but the porn version is called Pharaoh Moans.
A New Mo Pharaoh.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to tell us about your pheromones, you are more than welcome to. Head over to linuxgamecast.com, hit the contact button, leave us a message. You can do it. You can figure it out. I got faith in you. YouTube comments are all subject, along with Patreon comments. Probably not Odyssey comments, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. If you are working on a game, you want some pre-promotion, and you can string a couple of sentences together and look, put your face in the camera hole, come on the show. We'd love to talk to you.
Are you porting your game? from Unity to Godot, we would love to hear from you.
Or are you just making a game in Godot? We want those data points. That'd be awesome. Send us a message. We'll get back in touch. Now, this week I found out through our hate mail that something is dead. And I'm like, that's fascinating because the thing that is dead didn't tell me it was dead.
Yeah, that's like, that's getting like finding out you got fired when your entire department got like deleted over Twitter, right? Like,
Right. You're like, what?
What? No, but I can still log in. Anyways, this has come from Austin. It says, library is dead. Company is dead. What happens to the Odyssey channel? Assuming the protocol and community/devs as is decentralized, what is supposed as is supposed to be, it shouldn't be a huge issue to replicate.
Also, Nate, I want to say, why didn't you include a link? Because it took me a minute if I can find this. Also, thanks for not including a link. Use email next time. It took me a while to find this because you remember Library. It was a decentralized, I think it was like blockchain based or something. I'm not well steeped into this, but apparently the SEC sued them out of existence. And, you know, I did some like looking around, like this isn't like government. I mean, government being government, but they didn't show up for their trial and they didn't appeal. And they had like $100,000 fine leveraged against them. So they're peacing out. And the only reason I'm even remotely thinking about this is because they spun the company off, but the front end of this, the web front end, was called Odyssey, or still is, because it still might be around, according to the scorpion with a frog in them picture. And when it comes to like all of the other YouTube alternatives, like Odyssey was serviceable. And we used it not because I was uploading stuff to it, just because it had a handy feature where it would just automatically clone our YouTube videos to our Odyssey channel. The good thing about it is it's open source and it's decentralized. So theoretically, this isn't going to go down. But like, if Odyssey quits paying the bills for what they're hosting, that's going to knock a chunk of it out. What's
going
to happen?
So what? Someone would need to like host the new front end, or?
I don't know. Like, create a different front end, or theoretically, this should work like torrents, man. So, like,
because if it's decentralized, I'm thinking like a Mastodon thing, where like you would have like multiple, you connect to like instance X, Y, or Z to view
your use any one instance to find the things in the others. In theory, that and given that it's all open source, it's not like it's dead.
I don't. Yeah. So, I mean, the code's still going to be there. They're going to hand over the Odyssey assets or whatever to satisfy creditors, which is, I guess, is going to be the government. Womp womp, I guess. I mean, it kind of sucks because it doesn't kind of suck at all because you're still waiting on that YouTube competitor, man.
Yeah, and anything
the one
like
that was kind of taking off.
Odyssey at least had a little bit of traction. They were working on it,
and then like that's the thing, right? Like the hosting costs for something like YouTube, basically you have to have like some sort of decentralization in order for it to like not cost a fortune. So like it's kind of sad to see one of like the larger players developing in that space go away. But hopefully this like galvanizes people in the community. Hopefully like we get some stalwarts who are willing to pick it up and keep it going, because it's not a bad idea.
Well, what is the other one? PeerTube. Who remembers
PeerTube.
Yeah, PeerTube is still around.
Yeah.
The problem is, as much like Odyssey and PeerTube, even the people who champion it, they don't use it.
Yeah.
Like if we all just started using it.
There's a lot of people saying, yeah, you the thing, everyone is using
more,
the thing, but they're not.
If more people would just use Linux, then we would start making games for them, right?
Sent from my Windows 11 machine. Yeah, this made me a little bit, not as sad as it probably should make me to see something like this. But they do say Odyssey's going to live on. It's going to end up in like receivership. I'm sure somebody's going to pick it up.
Yeah, I would definitely feel something worse if something like Lemmy got torched. Like,
right.
Yeah. Odyssey, I don't know. I don't have that much like emotional investment with it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, there is a little bit of, I mean, we have, I think 500 plus followers on Odyssey. I mean, from like zero work on our.
Yeah, none. No promotion at
nothing
at
like
all.
It just automatically just copies our YouTube feed. So
I mean Mark, Nebula in principle is an interesting idea. Create our own video hosting service that is like subscription only. Like Floodplain is similar, right? Like there's Dropout as well. There's a couple of these companies that are like producing like really high quality content, and they're putting it behind a paywall. And I think like, yeah, ultimately I think that's the future, right?
Well, that's sustainable.
Yeah, that's what they're going for, is they want to have like a sustainable ecosystem for creators.
But we're dealing with like the second generation. We're definitely into the second generation of people who've been brought up as content's free. It's all paid for by ads. But in the life cycle of anything, they got to turn like, okay, investor money's dried up and we got to start making money. Then we start seeing things like, you know, we end up with YouTube.
Netflix is raising their prices again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Prime is also raising their prices for streaming video. It's the squeeze, man. It's the squeeze.
It is that cycle, man, where it starts out like everything's a good deal, then it just gets to that point. But you know what? You know what? As much as it sucks to see things go through that, the next thing starts up.
What do you think the next thing is? I mean, none of us fucking know, because if we did, we'd be working on that now, and then we'd be rich,
yes,
right?
Like, we would all be rich.
So if you have a good idea, send us some hate mail so you can get us rich. Yeah,
it's going to be changing. Like, the next thing's already taken place. There's none of us play around with it. I mean, it's things like TikTok.
Oh God!
Yes, TikTok is the popular one now.
yes, Nemo, Inshittification. I prefer Inshittification is good. I prefer the squeeze, because you know you're getting your balls squeezed. It's not.
I mean, we can throw fancy words on standard operating procedure for startup.
Give it a name. Call it out. Call it out for the shittiness that it is. Right.
I don't know. It's like people just are starting to discover this, and like, guys, this isn't new.
This has been happening for a while.
Right.
It hasn't quite been happening like this for a while.
Tell that to like Enron.
I don't know. Did their executive kill themselves or something? Am I misremembering that?
I don't know. Corporations have been doing the dumb for a long time. So
yes,
I too look for the next thing.
Stop listening to MBAs.
But you got to remember, YouTube started from nothing. YouTube was not a Google property. There was a couple of guys fucking around. So is that what you're getting at, Jordan? Is like, that's not possible. But now it's a whole lot cheaper to spool up something like that. Just maybe not at scale.
I don't know. Well,
certainly not at scale, and certainly not with the
not at scale. But like, again, going back to the decentralized point, like I would think like that would be required. Otherwise, there would be like such a massive upfront cost.
Mm-hmm.
And with the content quality, because as much as we complain about YouTube, they do offer something close to 4K video.
But nobody watches that.
But yeah, it's one of the features that
not until we get like 4K phones, right?
even with like 4K, how many times have you been like, yeah, that looks great, let me see what it looks like, and like you think you're watching it in HD and you check the quality thing, like that's at 360p, huh?
it's usually just 720p, because everyone's got big screens now, so even if you have the default player, it's still 720p. But it is releasing something to compete with YouTube at this point. It's kind of like Epic trying to release the Epic Game Store in the state that they did, hoping to compete with Steam.
they could have spent all that money on making their product better instead of
a YouTube competitor.
Instead of buying Bandcamp, they should have tried to make a YouTube competitor.
Hey, yes. They sold Bandcamp. They made a point.
You know what they should have done? They should have turned Fortnite into the fucking YouTube competitor.
Well,
they wanted to turn Fortnite into their metaverse.
That would have trapped those kids forever, man. Well,
here's the actual like horrible thing, man. Like, a lot of like breaking things are premiered inside of Fortnite.
Star Wars. Yeah. You did not know what the fuck was going on in The Last Skywalker if you weren't in Fortnite that one time to hear the Emperor's speech.
Okay, this is how you know it's time for us, you know, you kids get off our lawn. Like, when we hear, like, you know, concerts taking place in Fortnite, we're just like, get the hell out of here. Like, that would never cross our minds. But, you know, if you're 14, and all your friends like, yeah, we're going to go watch the concert.
We're going to go watch Deadmau5. We're going to go watch a recording of Deadmau5.
We had to pay like $15 in V-Bucks, but we're going to go watch the concert.
No, hang on. I'm just going to say, like, in their defense, I've also paid money to go to a Daft Punk concert, and I know damn well that was not Daft Punk on stage.
I was just going to say, have you ever bought like a DVD of a concert? Because that's, I guess that's kind of the same thing too.
Oh, right? Like of a live show?
Yeah, like a live show.
Same difference, yeah.
It's weird. Like once you start like deconstructing, it's like, ah, it's not actually that different from what we were doing.
But it's different. The kids are dumb.
It's different in a subtle way, and therefore I hate it.
It's not a video game. No.
Why would people play video? Oh, right. Linux. Right. Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. We love your feedback. We love off of it. So send in some notes if you get a way to fix YouTube and maybe you know what's going to go down with Odyssey, or you just want to chat in our direction. Hop in our Discord.
Send us some nuts if you're a squirrel.
Hop in our IRC. All the places this chat goes on the other 6 days of the week. Link it up if you're a Twitch sub, if you're a Patreon member. Speaking of Patreon, we got one of those too, patreon.com/LinuxGamecast. You get a gang of extra content for supporting the show. We appreciate it. Also, we got a store.LinuxGamecast.com. And yeah, I think that is pretty much it. Can we cue some music and go get into something else? Yeah.
Why not? I allow it.
I allow it, ladies and gentlemen, on that bomb. A loud bombshell, I guess I should say. You could always find us. Doing this right here on Twitch. You know, you go, if you're a patron, go listen to pre super shows, and we were like theorizing like, how many services can we stream to now? More on that at 13. But if you want to get in touch with the M1 Zitter, you know that at Vinstone, we have a federated timeline, mast.linuxgamecast.com. You can find me there. I'm just at Vin. And our website has a Mastodon account now because I set up the activity pub thing. If you can find it, follow it too.
I am the God Emperor Jordan. You can find me in my sleeping bag over my head on Twitter at The Burning Fool, or on Mastodon at frojo@mast.linuxgamecast.com.
I don't have anything witty to add this week, so yeah, just Mastodon, unaccounted for with the actual number 4, at mast.linuxgamecast.com. If, for doing the decentralization, might as well start there, I guess. Yeah.
Decenter yourself. It's like the anti-Marie Kondo.
Before you mentor yourself, I don't know.
I mean, you know, you need to be decentered so that you can be mentored, right?
Or you become rentered. I did. Shut up.
Nentered. we gotta thank the people flying through space, getting blasted by the gamma ray bursts from black hole at the center of our galaxy. Omega Sartherum, our executive producers, Bob Bramp, Scott Michaud, Tom McCast, Mike G, drummer Tomas, Hakim David, Eship, and Ian, and our little Nicky fans, Super Death Stoat, Empty, Glorious Eggroll, and Noobs.
I just realized I didn't do this shot over here.
So Redrix, Mackin, and Trudgy, Veritan, Unit, Justin, Nubbin, Darkwing, System T, Danzing, Joe, Ogi, One, and Kyrillo.
Hey.
Notes, Nova Basil, Chad,
good luck Bobby, with that.
Marcin, Renee,
random lowercase I.
Kim.
I'll use random lowercase I's if I damn well please, Jordan's fun.
Xatherus Gaming.
Damn, see, I got one. Graph. Yeah. All of our fine upstanding
Replay
cannibals.
Gaming PT. Portugal represent.
Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, Neuraldius, Noctilus, John, Eshep, Gabitron, Unoid, DS, and Joe, and Guy Jory. Thank you for buying stuff for the studio off our wish zones. But until next week, beautiful people, Dying of Fire. We'll see you then.
Toodles.
Toodles?
Toodles.
Toodles. Would you buy something that said Toodles of Noodles? Would you have questions if it just came in an Indescript package? It looked like Cup of Noodles. Oh, but
Toodles of, so it would be like goodbye to Noodles?
Five dudes.